good evening, everyone, and thank you for opting in to have this recorded.
Evening.
Occasionally we have individuals who aren't able to be with us on this call, and so it'll be posted on your website in your My Tools section of the Intentional Creation website. Just go to www.intentionalcreation.com. Underneath the home page, there's a little thing that says Member Login, two words. Just click there, enter your username and password, and you'll be in the My Tools section. If you have any questions how to do that, just call the office. They're happy to serve you. The phone number is 801-294-7694. That's 801-294-7694. They are typically there in the office between the hours of 8 a.m. to about 5 or 5:30 p.m. During the weekdays. So feel free to call them if you have any questions. Now, something very exciting happened. Somebody made a suggestion to us last week. It happened to be Gail Ramsey, one of our coaches who is working with some of those on the telephone, which is very exciting. Gail said, is there any way possible that instead of sending out emails with the telephone number for this call, that it could actually be posted on the website? So very exciting. When you go to your My Tools section, on the left-hand side, where you access the recordings, you go down the left-hand side to Group Coaching. Click on Group Coaching. The middle is the list of all the group coaching calls which you've been eligible to receive. Just go to the very end of that, and it'll have information about next week's phone number. Click on that. In the right-hand column, it'll be a phone number and the PIN for the following week's call will appear. You'll never have to worry about another email. You'll never have to worry about how to get on the phone call or panic at the end. Just get on your website. You can. It'll be posted, I think, today or tomorrow. So next week's number is already there. So you could do it many days in advance. So very exciting. Thank you, Gail, for that brilliant suggestion that the office has now implemented to make it easier for you to access these numbers. Well, welcome to the call tonight. We'd like to welcome all of those who are with us who are on the Og Mandino Scholarship Program. Most were on the call last week, and the last few are joining us tonight. Oh, we're so excited to have you with us. If you have not had a chance, please make sure you listen to last Tuesday night's call. We have backdated your entry date, so you have that call in your personal coaching section of your My Tools so that you can listen to last week. If you missed it and have not yet listened to it, you will want to listen to it. I'm going to review it briefly, and then we're going to do the other half of this section we call Connecting with People tonight. Now, I've got a little bit of a head cold, and so if I have to cough occasionally or blow my nose, I apologize. I'm doing my very best to sound okay tonight. It's good to be with you. I'm feeling great, by the way, and it's good to have you here. And we welcome all of you here. This is a very interesting and monumentous day for the Og Mandino Group. There were some things that occurred today that are just absolute reminders that these principles work. We've made tough decisions over the last few months in many places. And I can tell you that starting last night at 9 o'clock with a phone call that I received, I watched the heavens open and people put on my path who I could serve and who could serve us. Because we made some decisions last week to get in alignment with these principles where we found ourselves slightly out of alignment. I absolutely know that what we're sharing with you is not only true and good, it actually works when you apply it. Have the courage and even the tenacity at times to fight through some of the discouragement, because so many are having those moments right now. I won't go into detail with what's happened to us today, but this is a very exciting day for the Og Mandino Group as we've watched some things unfold in preparation for what's coming, especially in the area of our alcohol recovery program and supporting those who are working their way through sobriety. I've mentioned to you tonight that following that program, there'll be a program on how we could support you in getting out of debt using these principles, how we could support you in losing weight with these programs, with these principles. This is going to be an ongoing journey for some time, and we're very excited to be with you tonight. Many of you Many of you have been in a really dark night. A dark, dark night. One that's so discouraging, where you feel so stuck. I just want you to know that that dark night, I know. And it was in that dark night that we began to learn these principles. It was in that dark night that I met Ogg's material. That dark night turned out to be one of my greatest blessings. And if you're there now, as painful as it is, and I don't want to minimize it all the pain, because it is awful. I had someone on the phone today who's in that space, just made my heart just almost weep. I could feel where they were, been there, and reaching down with an arm to lift them up out of that mess. And that's our whole intention. Somebody asked me today, a collaborator on our book, what is this all about? And I wrote to her, this is about a hand up and a way out of the dark night. That's what this is about. These principles are more profound, more important, more pertinent to those who are struggling the most. So if you're having a struggle in your life, financially, emotionally, relationships, as we're going through this process for the next few weeks, listen carefully. Because what we're sharing with you, we do our very best to live. Not always well, but we do our very best to live. And when we do live it, the heavens do open. They just do. When we do receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems, people are put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. We are endowed with more ability. We do see opportunities we didn't see otherwise. We seek to gain ability equal to those opportunities. We heal our self-esteem. We find joy and peace of mind and success in every area of our life. That's what we wish for you. So let us collectively explore these principles a little deeper tonight. Let us incorporate them in our lives, that we might be able to more often experience that joy of which I speak. I had an interesting conversation with my agent this afternoon. And she said, she was talking about my voice. And I said, Margaret, my greatest concern, because she said it was a gift. I've never viewed it as one, not till she made a point of it in the last few months. But it's not me acting. As she now knows, what you hear in my voice is my absolute conviction about living these principles. These are the conversations Ramona and I have in private. Those of you who have spent time with us, you know the passion we have for one another and the joy we have in our life and with our children. I just share that with you because some might go, is this really just too sappy, just a little too slick? No. And I want you to know that everything that's spoken on these calls is absolutely spontaneous and is driven by what I'm feeling you need. We are going back to the basics. We're going to follow a guideline tonight, the last four principles of intrinsic validation. But this isn't rehearsed and it is not scripted. This is for you in your circumstances tonight, and I have been in a space where I am mentally rehearsing. You'll learn about those principles next week to get inspiration about where you are and what you need. And that's where we're headed tonight. This idea of connecting with people, this idea of finally noticing another human being, is one of the greatest secrets of success in all ventures. Ogg was not minimizing the seriousness of this particular principle. most of us are, because of what we're doing and what's happened to us, very self-centric. We just are. And when we finally break out of our own world and start focusing on the needs of other human beings, that's when the magic begins to happen in our lives. That's when we're congruent with a power greater than ourselves. That's when we start to have our own divinity, if you will, awakened inside of us. We start to remember who we really are. Our souls begin to heal. Now, we talked about the fact that we all have this wall. We do. And so does everyone we talk to. We also talked about last week that it is our empathy and our intuition, which comes from our own life experiences, that we use to better understand another human being. These are the tools we're going to use. We'll start off in a moment with principle number 4, where these tools start to come into play. Your single greatest gift is your life experience. It's the most valuable asset you have. When you own it, you've now had a chance to listen to the Chicago Dream. When you embrace your past and own it, not dragging it around in a sack as a victim, but holding it in your heart as a reference point through which you can see the life of another person. I used the example last week of a polarized lens to block all the sunlight and glare that keeps us from really seeing clearly another person. And all of a sudden, we can see more clearly through the lens of our experience and show up to serve them more effectively. That creates the connection. We also talked about last week that the very first step we take is noticing what's important to people. And most likely, it'll be something that is not important to us. You've now read the story about the tattoos. You've read the stories about the red and green game. Red flags, green flags. You now have a sense of how we are judgmental, that we look for and see what's wrong a lot of the time. And Og tells us in the scroll you're currently studying that silently and to myself I will say I love you. And it shifts everything in us. Our look, the tone of our voice, and connection can be facilitated. We look for what's good, what's important to someone, and we verbalize it. That is simply the process of getting outside of our wall and noticing another human being. We're not acting, we're not faking. We are simply becoming increasingly aware of another human being. Then we started talking last week about graduating from just noticing someone to the process of actually feeling what someone's feeling. And that process begins when we start listening for doors, verbal hints about what someone is thinking. I shared with you that human beings have a tendency to send out little words and phrases that are hints about what they're experiencing in their life. Do we pick them up? Do we ask about them? Do we hear them? I also mentioned to you that sometimes those doors are toxic and harmful. They're hurtful. People say awful things to us, whether they're really directed at us or they're just a reflection of where they are and the struggles they're having. And can we hear them as doors and simply step into their world? And when we do, we listen. We go, oh, that's a door. Could you tell me a little bit more about that? Share with me what you're thinking. I'm listening. I'm listening. Say it in a way they can actually feel your words. I'm listening. It was my client who said he didn't even realize the words were coming out of his mouth when his wife said, "What do you think I should do?" And he said, I could hear them coming out. I just didn't believe they're coming out of my mouth. Would you like me to give you advice? Or would you like me to just listen? Of course, she said, just listen. Now, this is the part we've been practicing this last week. mentioned at the end of last week, I wanted to give you an opportunity. And remember, when you share on this call, everyone who's listening benefits. There isn't a bad question. There isn't a problem that's, frankly, unique. If we all got in a circle and confessed our sins, we would be surprised at a lack of originality. So if you feel like, I'd really be embarrassed to do this, you're going to discover that you serve so many people on this call when you make a comment. Either something that's going well, or something you didn't quite understand, some clarification that might be helpful. You do not want to leave these calls without asking if you've got a question. Because we're going to be building very quickly in the next few weeks on top of these principles. And everything we're going to learn from this point forward is going to be to help you better connect with human beings. The single greatest secret of success in all ventures. We're going to get your mind in alignment. We're going to show up present in the now. We're going to learn how to be disciplined and structured. We're going to find joy in the journey. We're going to work on your self-esteem. We've got some major things to do, but they're all to help you do this better. So we want to make sure this is clear. So I'm going to open this up for a moment. Is there anyone who would like to take just a moment and share an experience they've had this last week? Looking for something good in someone, making a comment, listening for a door and stepping into someone's world.
Hi, Dave.
Yes.
After listening to last week's conference,
yes,
I went and I was talking to a friend of mine, and he put up one of those walls, and I was able to get him to talk, and after about 15 minutes, I found out that he had just gotten out of a really bad relationship, and he was planning on taking his life, so I stopped him. So it was great. The principles actually worked.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
And now
when he put up the wall in the past, is there a possibility that you might have thrown up on it or reacted to it or maybe missed an opportunity like that?
Well, I hadn't known him for long, so his ex had put up the wall, and I was able to break down through it and get him to actually tell me what was wrong, and then I got him on back into the side of light instead of the darkness.
That's beautiful.
And he said I was a true friend, and he was happy that I was there to listen.
I was going to pursue that question with you in the past in discussions with others. Are you just naturally this way, a good listener with people?
Generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of the counselor amongst my friends.
This is a great comment, because as we're sharing these principles, many of you are going to find out, oh my goodness, I'm doing that already. Is that okay? Is that how it's supposed to be done? Oh yeah. Many of you already intuitively do this. Now we're just going to teach you to do it a little bit more intentionally, just a little bit more, so you can be a little bit more conscious in that moment. Way to be. Now, question for you. We talked about the fact that everyone has a wall, and behind that wall is their cooperation and productivity. That's the name we give it. When his wall came down and all that came flooding out, how did you feel?
I was happy that he was talking to me. It's always when I hear someone say, I'm fine, or they just completely put up a wall, and the next sentence out of their mouth is, well, I don't think I should be here anymore. My insides just freak, and then once I convince them that they should stay and that their life is worth it, then I just feel so happy that we got through it.
A way to show up. That is a significant event. They generally aren't life-threatening. But, oh, when you're there in the moment, would you be willing to explore something with me that could be really personal?
Sure.
And if we go someplace that's uncomfortable, you don't need to answer.
Okay.
Have you ever been in a really dark night where you felt like maybe your life was not of value?
Oh, many a time.
Yes.
And I was I thankfully had friends who convinced me that I do have purpose and that I do belong here.
May I propose to you an idea and see how you feel?
Sure.
It's interesting how people get put in our path. Generally, there's someone who can serve us, or who we can serve, or whom we can serve, who we can serve. Are you open to a possibility that there's a power greater than you who put that specific person in your path on that very day because that power knew that you knew how that felt? You could feel what he was saying, and you would have the courage to step into his world and take down that wall.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe that we can't do anything without God. To me, it's God. I don't know who it is to anyone else, but...
To me, it's God.
I
believe in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of that, and I don't wish to offend anyone who might believe differently. That's my belief system. I've also found that God is not offended, that he does not make, as it says in this line in the Alcoholics Anonymous book, that I just love this one line. I'll just read it to you. He says, "We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all." What a wonderful thing. So we know that we are in partnership with, when we're walking away from an event like this, those who are listening, just feel this. This person is now walking away from this event knowing that, one, she's been trusted with a precious human being. Two, she was conscious. Three, she served in a really critical moment. She got to feel the joy of that cooperation and productivity flooding over her. In contrast to someone who says, "I don't have time for this. It takes too long." If we are in "it takes too long, don't have time for this," that power, which I call God, is most likely not going to place us in a place where we can serve. And the evidence that I started this conversation with, when we show up like that, people are also put on our path who come to serve us in our hour. Thank you. That's beautiful. Anyone else would like to share?
Yeah, Dave. Steve Fox from Arizona here. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Terrific.
Did you say Lee? I'm sorry.
Steve.
Steve. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, thank you. I've been applying the principles with a great deal of success this week with strangers and with friends. And interesting enough, with a business partner who seemed to be an ex-business partner, we've dissolved our partnership and we're about to part ways. And I have built that bridge, and approached this person in a completely different way than I had in the past, and owned up to where I had fallen short, where I hadn't been present in the business relationship. What it must have been like to be in a relationship with me in that regard. And it just dissolved all the walls on both sides that it existed. And there was tears on both sides, and I think a tremendous amount of healing. And just today I listened to your story of when you called the doctor in your real estate business, and you did the same thing. You said, "I'm going to give you everything you need just to bury me." And that's essentially what I had just done, to much to my great surprise. And it was a really transformative experience. So this does work when you do it, when you apply it.
You started to tell your story, and I went right back to that payphone.
Yeah.
And then you commented on it, and you got my emotion. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, when I heard your story today, actually, actually when I was studying, and I heard your story, and it was exactly what I had just done, with a tremendous amount of success, and with the same response. You know, I was just waiting 2 years to hear that was all I was told, and it was that's all that needed to be done.
Powerful.
Yeah, very powerful.
Way to be.
Yeah, and I thank you for that, and I thank my coach, Bill, for that as well.
Are you coaching with Bill Rauer?
Yes, I am, and it's an honor and a privilege. Yeah, I feel extremely grateful for him.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Oh, that was Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Dave.
We have amazing coaches, and they are so committed to all of you. We visit. We'll talk on Thursday afternoon with five of them, and five more of them on Friday morning, and another five on Friday mid-morning, and they are just absolutely committed to all of you. Thank you for saying something, Steve.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to all of you, and you particularly, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. I really appreciate it.
I do want to just mention something, Steve, for the benefit of all those who are listening. There are times when we will do our best to build bridges, and the conversations might not go quite as smoothly. Now, quite often they will, because somebody just may be waiting for us to be open and take down walls and be present. And sometimes people are just angry. And sometimes people have issues that are not healthy. And when that occurs and we have to terminate relationships, it may not be pretty or comfortable. But this I do know. If you continue to show an increase of love, they will not esteem you as an enemy, not long term. They've got to get past their anger, their frustration. You cannot take that away from them. And sometimes it will take a little time. But time is a great healer if we are constantly showing an increase of love. So when Og says we can melt all hearts, liken unto the sun rays who soften the coldest clay, he didn't say with the first conversation. It might take more. So congratulations, Steve, because you will have to have really been vulnerable to create that. And that takes a lot of courage.
It was very gratifying to do.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel good?
Yeah, it felt like a ton had been lifted off of me. Absolutely.
Yeah. Way to be. That's so fun.
Yeah.
You're going to have fun taking this on as you work with Bill. Because there's just another step and another step and another step. Wonderful.
Yeah, thanks,
Steve.
Can't wait. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to share? I was going to say help someone from committing suicide, an angry partner, and resolving those issues. Someone will have to have intrinsically validated a Martian to beat this, so I don't blame you for not wanting to comment, but if you had an experience, it's not the magnitude, it's having had one that you can celebrate with us. Is there one more person I would like to share?
Hi, Dave, it's Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
I know, after those two really great ones, I was like, well, mine seems pretty minor, but sometimes the magic happens in the everyday stuff, too. So
I saved the planet, right?
Oh, it's a bit of a mess, but it's saved. No, there's this lady that I work with, and she's been under a great deal of stress and kind of not dealing with it very well, and kind of a lot of anger and frustration in her face as she looks at her computer. And so today I came back in from the restroom, and I passed by her desk. And today I stopped, and I looked at her, and I said, Rhonda, you got your hair cut. It's cute. And she looked at me in total surprise, and I said, are you doing okay? I know you've been under a lot of stress. There was a lot of work that had to get done. And she just looked at me and started to just tell me about all these thoughts that had been coming to her head, and her eyes filled with tears. And so we walked back to the kitchen, and she shared more with me. And I said, you know, it was like old thoughts and old resentments about an ex-husband. And I said, well, Rhonda, maybe they're coming up because God's ready to heal you, or you're ready to have that healing. And she just grabbed me and hugged me, and she, you've seen me, Dave, I'm pretty little. Mm-hmm. And she's like 5'9", and she just enveloped me and held me and held me. And it was just a really wonderful moment. It was a moment where I felt like she needed to be seen. She needed to have somebody just listen to what was going on in her life. And it was, you know, small, but I thought still, it's those small little moments, if you grab them, they do make a difference.
A safe place.
Yeah.
Wow. Way to be. Now, that was really worth sharing. Thank you.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because we can walk by those people and not notice the haircut, not notice those things, not step into their world. Those of you who are in a business where you do the 3-foot rule, it should become fairly obvious very quickly that if you're trying to recruit everybody that comes within 3 feet to your business or opportunity or persuasion or politics or religion or whatever it might be, it's going to be a really lonely day. It's like everybody's going to be shying away from you like, you know, you haven't bathed in a month. But when you show up noticing and stepping into someone's world, and as Jenny did something very powerful, she didn't hear a door. She knocked just a little bit. I heard you've been under a lot of stress. Ooh, did a door open? Did she start to share? Did Jenny step into her world? Obviously, the conversation goes into the lunchroom, a big hug, a safe place. A waste of time? Did she make a sale? Did Jenny make her business grow? And my answer is absolutely yes. Because when she's doing that work, answering the bell, inspired to do so, I can promise you there's work being done that she doesn't see. And she'll be the beneficiary of it. That's the way it works. Abundance is not something we seek to receive. It's not something we seek to win. Abundance is a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. We've heard 3 beautiful examples of participating. Now, I'm ready to move on to principles, but I just, is there, if there's anyone else who's going, gosh, would he do one more? And the answer is yes. Is there one more person who would like to share?
Hi, Dave. My name's Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
And I am a new scholar, and I feel very blessed that I was chosen for the scholarship. And I just want to share quickly a girl that I met today, and she's in a treatment center. And I took her for coffee, and she was sharing with me about another girl in her group. And she was, you know, somewhat complaining about her, and and I said, Paula, I said, greet this day with love in your heart. I said, have compassion. And I said, God is showing you something that you need to learn. And I said, if you're getting irritated, use the Serenity Prayer. And also look at her and say to yourself in private, I love you. And maybe that will help. So I'm not sure if it's relevant, but I thought I thought that I would share that anyway. Thanks, Dave.
Nicole, will you be talking to her again this week?
I will be.
Would you report to us next week?
Sure.
When I ask for volunteers, would you please come on and tell us how the next conversation went and whether that assisted her in her conversation with her friend?
Absolutely.
That will be the rest of the story that will be very interesting to hear.
Okay.
Showing up for someone. Now, friend? Is this a friend of yours?
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
The concept of treatment centers is near and dear to our heart, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
As we're working. working very close to creating what's going to be called newlifesupport.com. New Life Support. Og said, today I begin a new life. Today I shed my old skin, which had too long suffered the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. Today I am born anew, and my birthplace is a vineyard where there's fruit for all. It's Og's beautiful way of saying, being a recovering alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
one day at a time.
Absolutely.
So poetically stated. Thank you, Nicole. We'll look forward to your report next week. Well, you've already leapt into the next phase. It's so beautiful that once we step into a person's world and we're listening, we create a safe place. This is principle number four. We've heard four great examples of how to create safe places by listening and responding to doors, because there's another door, and then there'll be another door. And as you study this material, you'll discover that you cannot script it. This is territory that's unscriptable, because you don't know what's going to happen ahead of time. The script is, be conscious. The script is, listen. The script is, show up for this person and care enough about them to step into their world and create a safe place. I want you just to envision a big down pillow. You become a big down pillow in which they can lie down and just be at peace. They don't have to fear you trying to fix them or trying to correct them or trying to give them advice. Now, there are things we'll share with them. There's no question. But this is a safe place where they can share where they are without fear of retribution. Now, sometimes we are in relationships the source of a person's fear. If we have been, it's great for us to be introspective and go, wow, what have I done to shut this person off? Because if I don't do it this time, they still may have a residual anxiety about some other times. So we're stepping into their world and creating this very safe place. I've got some examples in the material. I'm just looking at it right now. And you want to listen to some of these comments. Been losing any sleep? Do you ever feel like you've let your family down? Are your children sensing any fear? What impact is this having on your wife? We're talking about someone who's having a challenge. How are you doing? I love what you said, Jenny. You understand you've been under a little stress. How you doing? How you doing? I mean, I'm not just saying, how you doing? Fine, good, me too, fine. This is a how you doing that means I really am available to hear how you're doing. This is such an important piece. So we create this absolute safe place. There's so many examples in here for you to listen to. We won't spend our time on this call going through those examples, but you can go through and listen. And then when you work with your coach, you're going to want to practice some scenarios. You might do some role playing. You might bring some specific examples so that they can assist you in better understanding ways in which we can respond. It's not unusual to get a harsh or caustic door right up front that we step into. It may not be the last one we encounter. But remember that when we step into somebody's world, it's like we have these two suitcases. Remember this discussion? When you read about this, one suitcase is called your agenda, all the things you want to sell somebody or convince somebody to do. And your baggage is your need to be right and fix and all that stuff. We leave these suitcases at the door, so when we walk in, we don't have them. We don't have them then, and we don't have them the entire time we stay in there. One of the great risks while we're in someone's world at this stage, which we'll emphasize tonight, is we want to tell our stories. Our stories absolutely have a place. And this isn't to say we don't ever tell our stories. There are times when it's the best way to illustrate a point. But this is when someone's telling their story, and we go, oh, man, I've been there, I've done that, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, somebody's telling the story about being on a four-wheeler and climbing this hill and almost tipping over, and we're recalling the time we were on a four-wheeler and we almost tipped over, and our story's even bigger and better because our machine was bigger and nicer, and we just want to tell our story. So we say, yeah, same thing happened to me, and we just rip off into our story, and it's like we're slapping them across the face and telling them their story doesn't matter. This is the time when we listen the most. And if we know what it feels like, here's the clue. This is the litmus test. If we truly know what they're experiencing, we don't need to tell them that we know. Oh, I know how you feel. We don't need to do that. Not here. We can ask a question, because if you don't know the question to ask that would have them know that you know where they are, then you still haven't listened. Just know that. I know I'm so guilty of this. I just bite my tongue because I want to tell my story because it was really cool, it was really fun, or it was really exciting, or it was really scary, or it was really awful, whatever it might be. Just know in this moment when you're creating this safe place, this is about them. This is about their story. Well, when that was going on, did you ever feel threatened? Did you ever feel like your life was in danger? Or as I asked a few moments ago, when you walked out of there, how did you feel? When that flood of cooperation and productivity came over you, how did that feel? You know to ask that question because you felt it. You don't need to tell them when you felt it. You can ask them how they felt when they felt it. That helps them know that you know where they are. That's the most powerful piece in creating a safe place. That's what brings the wall down. Them knowing that you know where they are and you didn't need to fix them. You just love them the way they are. Now the wall's down. Now what do you do? You've learned some wonderful things about this person. And there's some things you'd like to share with them. And this is about trusting your intuition, because there are times that it's absolutely appropriate. As Nicole shared with us, she's got a few minutes with someone. She's got a challenge. Can I give her just a couple little pieces that could assist her to have a better week? Would that be appropriate? Is this the time? Is she receptive? Is she open? We trust our intuition before we share, because otherwise we're just throwing up on a wall. But now the wall's down, and we're going to go through principle number 5. This is a principle I just added a few months ago. We've been teaching this for years. But we just added this principle. We added it because of a dream that I had. If you've listened to this, you've heard the dream. If you haven't, you will. I want to tell you an abbreviated version of the dream. Because I was asleep one night, and I was talking to a man. I was up on top of a hill above a city. And he was in what I understood to be an emotional prison. He couldn't get out. And we were looking down. The ocean was down below, and there was a little harbor. And there was a sailboat in the harbor, long ways down there. And he pointed to it, and he said, "That's my sailboat. Would you be willing to go move my sailboat to a safe harbor?" And I remember saying to him, "Yes, I'll do that." And feeling like, wow, I guess I am okay. I'm willing to really serve this person. Wow, that feels really good to know I'm that kind of person. Now, that may sound silly to some of you, but it's good to look in a mirror sometimes and say to yourself, I love people. And hear what thought processes show up. No, I really do love people. Oh, come on, knock it off. You'll hear all kinds of dialogue. But when you can look in the mirror and say, I love people, and have the voices come back in your head, yes, you do. It's a glorious day. Well, I had that moment in the dream. So I left, and I went down and got in his sailboat and went from harbor to harbor until I found a safe one. And I remember being in this harbor. I remember sitting vividly, visually, I can see this, sitting on the bow, doing a backflip into the water and having the conscious thought that this was a safe place. This is where I would put my boat. I left there, came up the hill to him, and I began to share with him where I had put his boat and why. And there was such confidence in what I was saying, that the energy with which I spoke, there was no duplicity. Duplicity, which means double-mindedness, thinking one thing, trying to say another. We have 200 muscles on our face. There are billions of different options of how they can show up. We cannot fake all of those muscles into being in compliance with what we're trying to project when we're thinking something different, unless we are antisocial personality, a genuine liar. Isn't that interesting? Otherwise, we cannot fake it. It leaks on our face. And someone else's mirror neurons, these little neurons that exist primarily in what's called the amygdala, the fight-or-flight center of the brain, who pick up their sensory input through the optic nerve. They don't see pictures. They get feelings. Those feelings come, those neurons fire at twice the speed of a normal neuron. Messages are sent to the body before a person has a conscious thought. And when we show up totally congruent, facial expression, voice, energy, all of it is speaking the truth of it. A person knows. A person just knows that they are hearing the truth. And I could see it in his face. And I shared with him what I'd done and why I had done it. And I felt so convinced that what I had recommended to him is that's the location, that it was right. Then I woke up. It was such a vivid dream. I'm sitting there in bed going, what was that all about? And then I had a very strong impression. That sailboat was his dream. He was in an emotional prison. His dream was in trouble. He was in an unsafe harbor. He needed me to move it to a place that was safe. And many of you on this phone are in businesses where people entrust their dreams to you. They entrust their dreams to you. That's why this step is in here. Because you have a very high fiduciary responsibility to this human being to honor their dream. You now know what it is. You've stepped into their world. They have shared with you their dreams. How do you feel about presenting what you're about to present? Are you committed? Are you willing to do everything in your power to assist them in being successful in whatever you're about to recommend? If you're not, don't recommend it. If you've got a question about your product, get it answered. Because you want to be able to, when you're connecting with someone in this sacred space, and you've created a safe place, and you're about to present something to them that could impact their dreams, you want to make sure that it'll bless their life. And if you don't think it will, it doesn't necessarily mean it won't. It just might need some changes in your own thought processes. Because otherwise, we're going to pollute this very sacred space. We're going to pollute it by starting to talk about solutions that we really don't feel good about ourselves. So just be really careful in this area. It's just a wonderful opportunity for us to get deadly honest with ourselves about our own lives. This is in relationships, what we're about to ask someone to participate in. It's in business. It's in every facet of life. When we've stepped into someone's world and we know how vulnerable they might be, or how hurt they might be, or what their dreams might be, are we honoring them? Are we helping 5,000 people build a castle? Or are we trying to get 5,000 people to build ours? Maybe the first. So that's step number five. Step six is timing. We want to do things right away. We just do. Now is the moment. Close, 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 close. The truth of the matter is that it may not be the time. There may have been enough said today. We've got some thought processes, and many of you have them, analytical would be one. The fifth measure, excuse me, the ninth measurement down on the left-hand side, goal-oriented on the right-hand side. Valiant on the right-hand side, about the fifth measurement down. Some of these measurements, when they're out of balance, make us want to be very vocal and very opinionated and share our stuff right now. Sometimes this isn't the time. It's just not the time. There will be a tomorrow. The sun will rise tomorrow. And sometimes it's better to say, you know, I really appreciate what you've shared with me. I'd like to give you an opportunity to think about this overnight. Now let's get together tomorrow and talk about it. It gives an opportunity for a person to really assess where they are, the level of their commitment. You don't want to commit somebody to something they're not going to be committed to. So an opportunity. At the same time, it may be the moment. It may be that if you don't push just a little bit right then, they may not do something that would benefit their life. That's where your intuition comes in, your inner sense of knowing. Trust it. And lastly, you gain agreement, invite them into your world. Now, so you have the visual. You stepped out of your world, over the bridge, door opened, you stepped in, you've been talking to them all the time in the world. You've tried on their dream, you've decided it's the right time, then you take them by the hand, and with agreement, you walk out of their world, over the bridge, and into your world. And you begin to share. And you share your story. I had our board member, Jim Hennig, who is a master negotiator. He owns, not owns, it's Jim Hennig Associates. He's a former president of the National Speakers Association, a speaker, Hall of Fame speaker, well-known for in the country for his ability in negotiations. He uses the technique felt, feel, felt, found. But he always does it third person. This is how I've been working with so-and-so, and this is how they felt. And this is what they found. Feel, this is how they feel, this is what they found, felt, this is how they what they found. He does it third person. That's a very wonderful way to do feel, felt, and found. This is where it happens. It doesn't happen when we're in somebody's world. We don't say, I know how you feel. Because there, if we know how they feel, we'll be asking them a question that will validate to them that we know. It's when we're in our world that we share our experience. It is here we tell our story. It is here we share our bargains. It is here that we do this work. Now, one thing I want to emphasize as you're preparing to go and try this week, there is a lot of confusion around the concept of sales objections and answers to those objections. It's been our experience that when someone raises a question or a comment about, I'm not a good salesperson. That when someone raises one of these, they generally are making a statement. They are generally not asking a question. Yet in almost all sales programs, they call them answers to objections. Objections aren't questions. Objections demand a question, not an answer. When someone raises a question, raises an objection, excuse me, you ask a question. It's the fact that the process we're talking about, from stepping into someone's world to gaining agreement and sharing your story, is not a linear process. It's not that once we get here, we stay here. We break all the rules. Now, look, I've earned my right to tell you my stuff and sell you my goods. You stay right here, sit down. I'm going to strap you to the table and beat the crap out of you if you're not going to buy from me. This isn't a linear process. Just as soon as an objection is raised, we ask a question and step right back into their world and take down the wall. What? Uncomfortable selling. Oh, share with me your experience. Or what kind of an experience have you had selling? Oh, tell me more about that. What happened next? Did you make a promise? Did you ever have anybody tell you you couldn't succeed and you told them you would anyway and then you failed? How did you feel? Did they ever say, I told you so? You start getting into their world. What's really going on? What is their greatest fear? Is their greatest fear failing again? Is their greatest fear having to talk to friends and neighbors if they're in a networking or a direct selling type business? What's their greatest fear? And the question at the end of really knowing where they are, truly knowing, creating a safe place, might be, how long have you dealt with this fear? How long would you like to keep it? What's your experience been talking with me? Now, you can only ask that question if you've been a stellar example of creating a safe place. And they'll tell you, it's exceptional, unusual. Yeah, this is what we do. Do you like to do what I do? We don't break down walls with sledgehammers. Oh, there are people in our industry who can, but nobody can replicate them. We found that people really want to honor people, and that's what we teach our people to do, is honor people. Now, you may not be in that kind of a business, but objections are not questions. They're comments that demand a question. So let us ask the question, step back in their world. Now, I'm going to be so excited when we get to our session next week, because you will have been able to walk all the way through this process. And the beginning of next week, I would like us to spend a few moments talking about walls that you might have crashed into, problems you didn't know how to solve. Let's explore, because this is a new muscle for some. For some, it's one you've been using intuitively, and now you're just fine-tuning it to use it intentionally. But wherever you are in that process, let's talk about it at the beginning of our session next week and see if I can assist you. Those of you who are coaching with our coaches, work with them and they can assist you in helping you to get past these pieces. And just know this in conclusion. If you've listened to this material, you've already heard this, but this is so true. When was the last time someone cared enough about you to step into your world and really listen to you without needing to fix you? Just ponder that for a minute. When's the last time that happened? Because I've asked that question hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, and it's almost always, they're searching. It's a rare experience when someone cares enough to actually do that, and it's memorable. So here's the clue. No matter how poorly you do it at first, it may be the very best intrinsic validating experience they've ever had. And with time, you will improve. It gets better. It gets better. But the very worst may be the very best for them. So don't have any fear about doing this perfectly. Just care enough to see what's important. Verbalize it, listen for a door, or do that little knock, step into their world, stay in their world and create a safe place, then try on their dream before you try to give them advice. Is this the right time to give it? Gain agreement, and then share. If they raise an objection, ask a question, and step right back into their world and create a safe place until the wall is down. And then, is it the right time? Then invite them into your world and continue to share. And be in that circle, this art of connection. Wow, thank you so much for sharing tonight. That's the highlight for me. Appreciate all of your comments. Look forward to our next week's session. Now, in preparation for next week, we're going to have a few moments to talk about our experiences with intrinsic validation. We want to get right into how to control our minds, because the truth of it is that when there's so much noise going on about catastrophizing or fantasizing or all that stuff that's going on, fear and anxiety, sometimes it's hard to be present enough to show up for someone. So I want to talk to you about what keeps us from doing that. and then start giving you some very practical things to do with your mind that you can choose to do that will ignite your passion and drive your focus and discipline and effort and action and help you to show up more effectively as an intrinsic validator. So you'll want to start listening to, in preparation for next week, goals and expectations. That section's a little bit of a fire hose. For those of you who have a coach to work with personally, you can take this a little bit slower and work through the steps in your own personal life. But we want to make sure everybody on the call has a chance to get through these principles in the next few weeks. Well, thanks, everybody. Just know that we're committed to your success in every way we possibly can be. Let us know how we can serve better. We'll do our very best to do so. And is there anyone that just would like to send us off with a comment to close our session tonight?
Yes, Dave, this is Chase.
Hi, Chase.
One of the things I wanted to mention earlier that was just pivotal, and my heart has been pounding throughout the entire call, is that as I continue practicing the principles of intrinsic validation and I learn more about where people are, it's just it brings me to tears to just realize how that is so congruent with Ogg's scrolls. Different quotes pop out in my mind every single day, especially the scroll that I'm studying that particular month. And I just wanted to mention how important and how pivotal that was, especially in my life.
Oh, Chase, first of all, on behalf of everybody on this phone, because we know everybody on this phone has been touched by you, and you're such an integral part of our office. You know this, and we deeply appreciate it, and I know I speak on behalf of everyone on this phone you serve. Thank you for your service, and thank you for that comment, because we almost got away tonight without reminding you to be with Scroll 2 three times a day. Let this feed your soul. It will raise your awareness, so in that moment, you'll notice that haircut. In that moment, you'll step into someone's world and listen. That's what it's for, is to raise your awareness so that in the pivotal moments of life, you'll be prepared to perform more effectively as an intrinsic validator. So scroll number 2, thank you for reminding us, Chase. Let us stick with that scroll 3 times a day this week, faithfully. It will, in fact, drive your consciousness. Great way to end the call. Thank you, Chase. Everybody have a good night, and we will talk to you next, or with you, next Tuesday night. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Dave.
Good night.
Thank you.